This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
The Prospect Review Podcast is your source for the latest news and information on the 2014 NFL Draft.
With the 29th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospects, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Hello once again, and we're coming down the home stretch here, Paul Perillo of these podcasts. And I finally have the hang of it. This is a prospect review where we indeed preview the prospects at every position. And today we move to a very exciting position, the defensive line, one of the better stocked spots in this year's draft class and potentially anchored by the number one overall pick. And that's where we will begin, at the defensive end position. From a Patriots perspective, a year ago, two guys played every snap essentially. Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, right end, left end. Your job is to be out there every single play.
Roman Pfeiffer.
Go get me some quarterbacks.
2001.
And they were good. Chandler Jones, 11 and a half sacks. Rob Ninkovich, for the second straight year, had 8 sacks. First and second on the team in terms of pressuring the quarterback. But some believe maybe they wore down a little bit as the year went on. And certainly in Denver, the pass rush was non-existent for the AFC title game when Peyton Manning once, I believe, was touched by a fingernail of Chandler Jones, and that was it all day long. So many believe that defensive end is, while you do not need a starter, certainly need to add some rotational depth and maybe an injection of youth and playmaking ability to that position. And there's a great candidate, Paul. His name is Jadeveon Clowney.
Very, very well done right there.
He changed his name. We used to say Jadeveon.
When I was on vacation, I saw.
Out of South Carolina. Generational prospect, certainly a decade prospect, and many believe could still be the number one overall pick in Houston despite the quarterback questions Bill O'Brien is facing. The only problem with Clowney is he'll be long gone before the Patriots get to pick anyone. So we won't spend too much time on him, even though he is a very impressive talent, and he's overrated and great all at the same time. He was supposed to be the next Lawrence Taylor, and he may not be that, but he's a great prospect. Moving on, Paul.
Before you move on, can I have a one?
Paul wants to talk about Jadeveon Clowney.
One quick one on him.
You want to delve into him?
Do you have any concern about his length? How long his legs are?
No.
You know, thinking in terms of say Sean Crable.
Nope.
No. Okay.
I think Jadeveon.
I have a little concern that he's a little tall.
Paul, you know what he is? 10 sack guy.
Oh, I like.
You know what else he is? Explosive.
I'm
energetic.
I'm a big fan. I said that was a real quick one. I wanted to ask you about that.
And I dare say you pair him with J.J. Watt, and I think you have a phenomenal front seven for years to come.
You do not have to sell me on the player.
Now,
big fan.
We'll talk about actual Patriots potential at the defensive end spot. And I would say almost anybody else could be in play, whether you start thinking about it in the first round, second round. A couple first-round type prospects, Coney Ealy out of Missouri, a guy that has quite a variance of opinions on him. You know, could he be a top half of the first-round guy? Could he be available when the Patriots pick in the first round? Could he even be an early second-round pick? I think he's an intriguing character. A lot of tackles for a loss, sacks, athletic. Not really a stout guy. He's more of a pass rush option.
Yeah.
I like him, don't love him, Paul. And I'll tell you who I've fallen in love with, madly. Not quite to the Deion Buchanan level, but Scott Crichton out of Oregon State, I think is a really, the word I kept coming up with when I watched him is violent. A violent guy. Plays the run, gets after the quarterback, and everything he does seems to have that short space burst where he's trying to kind of impose his will on whether it's a quarterback, a tackle, a running back, whatever it is. And I really, really like Scott Crichton, and I think he would be a dark horse candidate to really inject some youth here.
I agree on Crichton. I was impressed with him at the combine. I thought he came across well and watched a little bit on him. Didn't get a chance
to see
him.
Also like those face masks that look like Bane.
Didn't get a chance to see a ton of him in terms of game action. I haven't watched a lot of Oregon State, but I would agree with you. I think he looks the part, and he was a productive guy. He made some plays for the Beavers. I just wanted to say the Beavers. I figured you'd chuckle. You didn't. You let me down.
He's a beaver.
The other guy, moving a little bit further
Beaver
down, I'm with you on Crichton, and every time I talk about D. Ford, I say my disclaimer is it's one game that I fell in love with him, and It was against Florida State in the national championship game. But
yeah, I'm not as in love with him.
I like him a lot, and I wonder if maybe he's one of those guys that maybe has a motor problem. Doesn't always do it, and that's why he doesn't look as impressive when you watch the tape on him. That night in the BCS championship game, you could argue he was the best player in the field.
Well, and it's not just
and
that
there
night.
There was some NFL talent on the field that night.
He had 25 sacks the last 2 years, so it's not like he only did it that night. You know, if you want to look at some of the measurable type questions, 6'2", shorter than ideal, certainly that you're looking for there. 4'6", 40 is fine.
Yeah, he's more of an outside linebacker type than
correct.
A defensive end.
And he played a lot of time on the left defensive side, not necessarily the marquee side. Usually you think of guys that are going to be elite pass rushers, impact guys playing the right side. You get a chance to see more of those matchups, left tackles, right defensive ends. He's an intriguing guy. Production, you can't argue, in the SEC, right? So you got those two things that are on your side.
And anytime you have production in the SEC, you know that that guarantees.
Yep. Just ask Jake Beckett.
A spot on the inactive list.
Yep. Other guys, names moving down the list. Another intriguing guy from my perspective, Marcus Smith out of Louisville. 6'3", 251 pounds, 4'6", 40. They moved him all around. So I don't know what he would be, but I think sometimes Bill Belichick loves those guys when he says, I don't know what he'll be. He'll be a football player for me, though. He'll be a defensive player. They used him outside linebacker, interior, exterior defensive line, 12 and a half sacks. Quickness isn't great, but he's got an impressive frame. A lot of stunts they used. And normally I might have poo-pooed that, but given what we saw from the Patriots last year with Jones and Kelly and even some of the cornerbacks blitzing out of the slot, some of the different things they did up front on the defensive line with Chris Jones and Villano, I wouldn't eliminate that as a skill set that might appeal to sure. Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia and company. So he, in my opinion, is an interesting guy. Michael Sam is a guy that the Patriots, according to some reports, have been more interested in than any other team. That the people that are on the Sam camp say the Patriots, since the combine, have shown as much interest as anyone.
Do you buy that?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I see Michael Sam and I say he doesn't fit the Patriots on any level.
Well, that's number one. And number two, I would say if the Patriots were really interested in him, it wouldn't be so public.
Right.
That and I'm not saying that when you find out the Patriots visited with someone or that they had interest in someone, that means they're not.
That's right.
Not
like Ben Volen tweeted, somebody said, who are they going to draft? Ben Volen said, somebody they haven't met with or
yeah,
something.
That,
no, I don't buy that.
That's garbage because they'll have met with the guy at some point. My point is, it's so public that the Patriots have been interested in Michael Sam that to me, it's probably not as valid as it would appear. And I think it's one of those things that they wanted out there that they've been interested in Michael Sam for different reasons. Shall we say non-football reasons. I think it makes an organization look good.
Sure. And it also helps the player to be attached to Bill Belichick and a great defensive coach and a great team to increase his value. So it's certainly a two-way street there that both sides might want it out there.
Yeah.
Will Clark, great, smooth, left-handed swing, but intriguing size. 6'6", 271 pounds, had a very good Senior Bowl. He's out of West Virginia, 17 tackles for a loss last year. He's very long, obviously, at 6'6". Not explosive, decent athlete. You're talking about a mid-round developmental guy. Maybe he's, third-round pick. Maybe he slides into the Beckett role, only is actually a rotational guy and can be active on game days.
But otherwise, I was going to suggest you slide into the Beckett role. You could use a little extra money.
I could. I would love to sit in a luxury box and collect a paycheck. And then there's an interesting group of, Paul Perillo, Stanford defensive ends. You have the highest rated of the group is Trent Murphy, who I did not like, actually. I didn't see anything. He's supposed to be a second or a third round pick. 6'5", 250 pounds. Very good production. Two-time All-American for Stanford. Very good player. I just didn't like anything. I thought he was surrounded by a lot of talent. I thought, just average speed, quickness, effort kind of guy. I just didn't see anything that said that's a second round pick that I have to draft. Josh Morrow is a fourth round pick who I didn't love. 6'6", 271 pounds. The same kind of mold, kind of an effort guy, not quick, not explosive. I think they all kind of played off each other. And because all of them were playing so hard, it made for a good defensive line. The third guy, actually Ben Gardner, 6'4", 262, is actually the guy I like the best out of all of them, and he's supposed to go in the seventh round or be a free agent. Limited production there, but I thought he was the best of the three, which is interesting.
Yeah, I haven't gone as deep into the defensive ends as you have. One guy I wanted to bring up, just to get your opinion on, is Jackson Jeffcoat from Texas. Know if you had had much thought on him.
Let's see. I think he's going to be an outside linebacker in the National Football League. 6'3", 247.
Yep.
Very productive, but has kind of a lean build.
Yep.
I thought his quickness and speed were just kind of average. It didn't really jump off the tape for me, but all around, I thought he was pretty good. Just kind of all around decent. Yeah. No weaknesses, no strengths.
I think he's a pretty good player, and I agree that he's probably more of an outside linebacker. And then, you know, with these kinds of guys, they've become a little bit more difficult to project for the Patriots because these are the guys that I used to gravitate toward when I was watching the film, and now I'm not sure if the Patriots are maybe going away from that and getting the more stout defensive end types, maybe 280 types as opposed to the 240 types, 250 types. So Jeffcoat's a guy, award winner at Texas, sort of a pipeline at that position. Now, some of them have worked out and some of them haven't. Guys like Arakpo,
yep,
obviously worked out. Sergio Kindle is a guy who had the head problems, the head injury, and never
did anything. There's a couple Achos. Sam Acho.
Acho has been okay.
Oh, yeah, two Achos?
Yeah, Emmanuel and Sam, I believe, the two Achos. But that position has been
sure
successful for Texas. So, and Jeffcoat also, by the way, his dad played for the
yes
Cowboys.
Jefferson Jeffcoat. Right? No? What's his name?
I think it's Jim Jeffcoat.
Jim Jeffcoat. Well, that's something, Jeffcoat. And Chaz Sutton would be a late guy I'd throw as a Gamecock. I know you think very highly of Steve Spurrier's program and his abilities to develop NFL talent.
Well, I'm glad that you're not just
talent
dismissing the, you know,
I actually think
the
he's a special
ability
teamer. 6'3", 245 pounds, 4'6", 7". I think he's a perfect special team backup athlete type guy. Now, Paul, we're going to move over to the Hogs because you're an expert on the, let's just say, beefier defensive lineman. Sort of your area of expertise. You eat with them. You train with them. The top of the board. Well, it's interesting because the top of the board is a guy that's not necessarily a fat guy mold.
No.
In Aaron Donald, a playmaker
love
out
him
of Pittsburgh.
6'1",
285, 4'6", 8", 40. Certainly has some versatility to move around the defensive line. Penetrator, sacks. I think had deceptive power. You don't think of him necessarily as a power guy, but I saw him push some guards and centers around a little bit. Is he a guy that you think fits what the Patriots do defensively, and would he be a potential draft pick?
Maybe not, you know, in a traditional Patriot sense, but I think it kind of similar to what we just talked about with the edge guys. I think you're sort of moving away from that a little bit. It would appear that Belichick is looking for a disruptive player on the interior. And
correct,
you can go back to the guys that haven't panned out, Fanene being the poster child with being a disastrous free agent signing. They're looking for that kind of guy. Aaron Donald has been compared to Geno Atkins.
Yes.
And I don't know if he's that good. You know, it's hard to project that on a college kid that he's going to be as good as an all-pro, who right now is probably the best interior defensive lineman in football. But he does play in that mold. He's a shorter guy who penetrates like crazy. He's very disruptive. There was a lot to like on the tape there. He's not a big, prototypical defensive tackle, run-stuffing, space-eater. He's not that kind of guy. But I don't think the Patriots are necessarily looking for just that. I think they're looking for a guy who can hold his own and maybe two-gap if he has to, but also can be disruptive and get in the backfield.
Other names that are – and Donald could very well go very high.
Yeah,
you know, top
12, might be a moot
maybe
point because he might not be around.
Certainly.
The, anyway,
the rest, I think, have a very good chance to be around. One guy we've talked about a little bit on PFW in Progress, I had him in one of my mock drafts on Patriots.com, is Lewis Nix III out of Notre Dame. 6'2", 331.
I like him a lot too, by the way.
Certainly a Vince Wilfork build, kind of just that big tree stump in the middle, has some athleticism. There were some questions about his weight and his drive coming into this season. He
my
had
first
a surgery
time in his big belly.
Yeah, well, you know what? So does Vince Wilfork, and he's made a career out of it. It's worked.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work, but just thick, powerful. You know, I could, and I wrote Wilfork like. I think you put him in the middle of your defense and allow him to eat up. But I do think he can penetrate some. He's
yep,
not just
absolutely
an occupier. At
no
times, he can be active and penetrate.
He's not fast, but he is mobile.
Yes.
And I know that probably sounds like an oxymoron.
No, it's kind of Wilfork-ish.
He moves around well. He's got good feet. He's not fast, but he does get in the backfield.
No, 5'4", not fast for a 40.
5'4", he
yes.
I'm not even looking at times for a position like that, but I mean you can see him when he has to move at all.
He's
in
almost
space
a full second behind Aaron Donald.
He's not
on a 40-yard sprint.
He's not running a quarterback down.
No.
But he can penetrate and get that quarterback to move off the spot.
Correct. A guy I didn't love who's considered a first-round pick is Timmy Jernigan out of
terrible
Florida
tape.
State. Yeah, I just...
He's a better player than his tape suggested.
Nothing
Let's
there.
Put it that way.
And the one thing that also worries me, he was a one-year starter. He kind of got trapped behind some of the guys down there that have gone in recent drafts. He's thick. He's stout. I just, meh. I wrote meh.
I thought he was kind of a high-motor guy, and you know I don't use that in a...
No,
really,
that's not
positive.
Always good.
I don't use that in a positive sense.
Another Notre Dame guy, Stephen Tuitt, first/slash.
I'm like Albert Ainsworth in that way.
first/second round pick. More of the Richard Seymour build, 6'5", 304 pounds. He had 12 sacks a couple years ago, 6 sacks last year. Good speed. I think he is a nice fit for a team looking for a Richard Seymour 3-4 end. I'm just not sure what need there is here, although you certainly could plug him. You know, if you want to mimic what they have now, you could certainly say that Lewis Nix is Vince Wilfork and Stephen Tuitt is Tommy Kelly. You could certainly replicate that if you were moving forward. But Stephen Tuitt is a guy that's going to go in that area. One of my favorite names in the draft, Ego Ferguson, LSU, second or third round pick. I didn't love 6'3", 315. I thought he was pretty slow off the ball, which is never a good thing for a defensive lineman when you're lined up right near the ball and you have the first look at it and chance to get moving. Not quick.
Yeah, I didn't love him either.
Questionable motor.
I didn't think as little of him as you do, obviously, but I didn't love him either.
A couple other second-round type options. Will Sutton out of Arizona State. Dominic Easley out of Florida, who has been tied to the Patriots quite a bit. A lot of people wondering if he could be the pick. 6'2", 288. Had a knee injury that is a bit of an issue there. He's a little bit of a tweener type. Like, what exactly is he as a position player? Because I don't think he's not as good as Aaron Donald. He hasn't proven to me. Well, he can just be a penetrating defensive tackle. But like I said, there's a lot of little smoke between Patriots and Easley.
And I liked both of those guys. I liked Sutton too. And Sutton does have the size that you're talking about that Easley doesn't. But I also thought he moved pretty well for a 300 plus pound guy, 315 or so pounds. Penetrates. He definitely can play the run, but I also thought he showed.
About?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was really athletic for his size.
Yeah, I thought
really
he showed
athletic.
The ability to get into the backfield and a nice swim move on a pass rush on one play. I like both of those guys. Sutton. I like Sutton and Easley. So excited about it, my voice is cracking.
Moving down a little bit, another LSU guy, Anthony Johnson, 6'2", 308. I really liked.
Very athletic.
I thought he was the opposite of Ego Ferguson. I thought he was shot off the snap. And that may be why, by the way, Ferguson looked so bad, because I think Anthony Johnson made him look bad by being so quick off the snap. A big-bodied penetrator. I think he swims. He has active hands and gets his hands up for the pass. Not as powerful as you'd think for a 310-pounder, but I liked what I saw from Johnson.
Agreed. I thought he made some plays while being doubled, too, on the tape that we saw, the short tape. But I'm with you. These sometimes when we watch these guys and you sort of project, and I know that the experts don't get them right all the time, but you and I always talk about this. I didn't see much difference between A and B, and A is supposed to be a second rounder and B is supposed to be a sixth rounder. This is a case where I think that Anthony Johnson is better than Ego Ferguson, but yet they're sort of rated to go roughly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think there was much of a comparison between the two players. I thought Johnson was much better.
An interesting guy is a small school or lower level guy, and I know you're an expert in that area. Caron Reed out of Princeton.
I liked him a lot, actually.
Two-time All-American at that level. There's obviously questions about making the jump. I thought he had pretty good quickness and power. 4.91 is pretty decent 40 time for a defensive lineman who's 6'2", 302. Didn't wow me, and that's the only, I thought he was good, but not enough for me to say, okay, he's going to go from Ivy League to dominating the NFL and a third-round pick seems a little too high for me. You put that 5'6 there, and I think Caron Reed might be an intriguing guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought athletic, and you know how I have an affinity for the defensive linemen that wear the numbers like number 11, which tells me that he was something else when he first got there. That means he has the athleticism to maybe do something a little bit special for the position he plays in my warped mind, in my warped scouting manual. I liked Reed a lot. Definitely thought he had the ability to play 4-3 defensive tackle. But you're right. It's a big jump from the Ivy League to the NFL, and to be dominating in the NFL, I wouldn't expect that solid mid-round guy, but not a dominating player.
As we move down a little bit, another guy I liked, fourth, fifth-round type prospect, according to our friends at NFLDraftScout.com, George Uko, or Uko, out of USC, DTDN tweener type, pocket collapser. I think he, you know, on sub-5'40", I think he's pretty athletic, gets a little high at times, and, you know, he's not a perfect prospect, but I thought he'd be an interesting tweener guy.
Good,
you know,
speed.
Maybe the Justin Francis type role, inside-out rusher, a little versatility. A couple other guys that I gave the old up arrow to, Paul Perillo, DeAndre Coleman out of Cal. You know, very good build. He's a captain, long at 6'5", 315, and uses that length well. Sheds, another guy that I said, little Tommy Kelly-esque with the height and the 300-plus and the athletic ability.
I can see that. I didn't write that down, but I could see what you're talking about there. I could smell what you're cooking.
Kerry Hyder out of Texas Tech, 6'2", 290. Again, a little smaller. He had a quick swim move, can shed a little bit, almost played like a linebacker up front because he was
aggressive.
Quick enough.
Yeah.
Right around that 5'40 time, very good motor, and, yes, aggressive penetrator. And one guy slated to go undrafted, Ken Bishop out of Northern Illinois, I thought was very impressive. He's coming off a foot injury, but he's very active, good athlete, quick, short, solid pop, boom, right off the snap, very good motor.
Check out his tape. You see a nice interception right here at Gillette Stadium against UMass.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It jumped off the tape for me in front of family and friends here at Gillette.
So, you know, as we summarize, Paul, defensive end, defensive tackle, the expectation that you have would be they draft both positions, they draft one of these positions potentially early. You know, summarize the two spots up front.
If one's going to be early, I think it would be the defensive tackle, much to my dismay. I would rather it be the other way around, rather than find an edge guy. But I think if they're going to do one, say, in the first two rounds, it would be defensive tackle. And I think there are plenty of guys to choose from. I think that Nick Caserio talked to you, among others, yesterday had his pre-draft press conference, talked about the depth along the defensive line. I think, and he didn't say specifically, but I think he was talking probably more defensive tackle, saying how the depth was among different kinds of players. And I think what he's talking about is the Hagemans of the world and the Aaron Donalds of the world that might both play defensive tackle but don't play the same position.
Certainly. And, you know, we did a mock draft, and I talked about earlier on Patriots.com, I had Lewis Nix. We also did a mock draft in the paper. And it seems like a lot of mock drafts, the way they unfold, there is a defensive tackle type choice to be made at 29 if you are indeed going to stay there and make a selection. You mentioned Hageman out of Minnesota,
yeah,
who we skipped over, but a lot of people, both in latest mock drafts just this week, both McShay and Kuiper have him coming to the Patriots.
I don't really love him.
I don't love him either. I don't really see the fit, you know, as an oversized defensive tackle in the Seymour build. I might have looked at him more in the old days for the DN spot in that 3-4 front. I didn't really like anything about him. To me, he's overvalued as a first-round pick. But Lewis Nix, as I said, it could be a possibility there. Some of these defensive tackles, and it might be a little high to take some other players. You know, if Scott Crichton, you know, a guy that I like, is just a pass rusher that's a true second-round pick, Bill is not going to overdraft him. You know, Deion Buchanan, Bill is not going to overdraft
him. Stop thinking in terms of 29, Andy.
Do you think about 40 when we trade down? When we trade down?
I actually do think there's a pretty good chance.
I do, too. I think there's a great chance that they're going to trade down because then they can get all the guys we like in the second and third round.
Right. This draft, to me, is shaping up like that.
And
right?
You know what? In a rare occurrence, when they trade down, we might all be happy.
I'm in concurrence.
Because as I've said, if you trade down and, okay, you give up Lewis Nix, but you trade down and you get me Austin Seferian Jenkins or Jay Samaro and Deion Buchanan and maybe Scott Crichton or something in that combo of players, I'm feeling good. You've addressed
that.
What I wanted. You got players I like. So certainly would be a possibility, but the strength of the draft class at defensive end starts with Jadeveon Clowney atop the draft, and we will see in 1 week, Paul, and 1 day, if Jadeveon Clowney, who a year ago was the unquestioned first-round pick anytime he ever entered a draft, if he indeed fulfills that destiny a year later when quarterbacks like Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, have muddied the water a bit for our old friend, Bill O'Brien.
Absolutely.
Does his...
I still would go with the Clowney pick.
I would go with the Clowney pick as well. Does his career rest on this decision?
No.
No?
His career rests on his ability to coach.
Am I being over-dramatic to say that?
Well, to me, if it was like a situation where there was a lock number one quarterback Like, everybody thought that he was going to be the number one pick. Right now, there's a lot of people that think that Clowney's the number one pick.
Right.
Some people think Khalil Mack is the number one pick. But for some people think a quarterback.
For example, they often say, you know, you can ruin your coaching career by picking the wrong quarterback.
Right.
That's even worse if you pick the wrong quarterback and you picked him over an elite defensive player. So if you pick Johnny Manziel, let's say, number one overall, he busts out, nothing works, bad choice, and Jadeveon Clowney goes two to St. Louis or three to somewhere.
It's not going to be wonderful for him if that happens. Nope.
And he might be coming back here to be the offensive coordinator.
I don't think it's going to be a make-or-break draft pick for him, though. I feel like if he can coach, whether he misses this pick or not, I think he'll be able to coach, and he'll see that, and he'll have some progress. Now, you're right. If he picks a quarterback and it's not the right quarterback,
you're in trouble.
It's harder to win as much as you want. You know, you need to.
Well, Paul, as Sylvester Stallone would say in Rocky V, one more round, Tommy Gunn. Running backs on the agenda for next Monday as we creep to a close here in these Patriots.com podcasts in which we preview. The review podcast where we preview the prospects. I'll have it by Monday. I promise the last one will be the best.
I doubt it.
Jadeveon Clowney, Lewis Nix, Scott Crichton. A lot of guys Paul likes.
D Ford,
he likes him because he was good in one game. Will any of those guys be the pick at 29? We will find out just 8 days from now. Until then, keep checking Patriots.com for the latest Patriots pre-draft coverage. For Paul Perillo, who just threw his headset on the microphone, I'm Andy Hart. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.